Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture.
Aristotle's ethics, as he articulates it both in the Nicomachean Ethics and in his works more widely, is a variety of moral theory that we call virtue ethics. And there's often quite a bit of misunderstanding when people first begin studying virtue ethics that I think is clarified by the topic that we're going to talk about here, which is how virtue acts as a norm for moral evaluation. Here's where the puzzle comes in for people who are not virtue ethicists or not, working implicitly within that set of traditions. When we come to ethics from the outside, we often assume that what's really key is evaluation and just evaluation of actions or perhaps actions and intentions or policies. For virtue ethics, it's not quite so simple as that. And many people get into trouble because they look at other ethics, which at least in the textbook formulation of them, not necessarily in the actual formulation in the people's works, seem to be fairly straightforward, can be reduced to some clear axioms from which then we spin out an entire ethics, allowing, decision procedures and that sort of thing. Virtue ethics doesn't permit that, and I'm going to actually make an aside, virtue ethics doesn't permit that in part because virtue ethics is actually closer to the truth than these other ethics, because moral life is quite complicated and moral phenomena often turn out to be ambiguous, many-sided, requiring prudence in order to make sense of. But we're going to talk about that in another video. Here, what we're particularly interested in is how the virtues themselves function as moral norms. And what are the virtues? Let's start out with that. So the virtues as Aristotle understands them, this is not his definition, but it's a very good characterization, are determinate modes of human excellence. So there are multiple virtues. There is justice, which is something different than temperance, which is something different than good temper, which is something different than, and we can keep going through the entire list of the virtues. These are established character traits that have developed within a person, perhaps in part from training, but primarily, this is what training would fall under, through habituation, through doing the certain kind of action, or in terms of the virtues that have to do more with our management of emotions, with responding in certain ways. There's much more to the picture than that. How other people's models function for us plays into that, but that's going to fit here as well. So these determinate modes of human excellence move us towards our fundamental good, which is flourishing. And Aristotle conceives of happiness as being a life of virtuous activity, a life that actually engages the virtues, which means that we would actually have to have the virtues. So you can say that in virtue ethics, one way of answering the question, well, what is the good? What is what we ought to take into account when making moral decisions? Is, well, the virtues are good. The virtues are a set of goods that it would be good for us to have and thereby good for us to cultivate. And that helps to answer some of how virtue works as a norm for evaluation, because you can think to yourself, okay, well I don't have temperance yet. What would it take for me to actually be temperate? It would be good for me to be temperate, so that's a criterion right there. But what are the things that would be means to that end of acquiring temperance? Well, maybe cutting back on my food intake, regulating the times that I allow myself to have a snack instead of saying, well, I feel like having a snack, so I'll just have one, right? As a matter of fact, there's a choice there, and if I choose the wrong one, I'm actually probably choosing what's going to lead me towards a vice, one of the vices opposed to the virtue. So that provides a norm for moral evaluation. We ought to do what will lead us towards virtue, but Aristotle gives us a lot more than that. So one of the key distinctions that he's going to make is that we can find running throughout his works is acting in accordance with virtue or a virtue, and acting from an established state of virtue that one already has. What would be an example of this difference? Let's take temperance or moderation in bodily appetites for an example. Drinking. A person may decide, you know, I've really been partying too much and I need to cut back on my consumption of alcohol. I understand that, you know, it makes me the life of the party, but it's got some deleterious effects on me. And I really don't like this feeling, not the feeling of being drunk and out of control, but the feeling of not actually having control over my own appetites, my own decisions, my own pursuit of pleasure. I'd like to have a bit more of that control in my life. So what do? They model themselves after people who actually do, in fact, have that virtue of temperance. They say, well, I should act like that guy. And so, you know, for example, if they're out really late at the bar and they've got a good buzz going and it comes to last call, there's that you know, tendency for people to say, I better buy myself a couple drinks because I really want to, you know, make sure that I'm well provided for with that. Well, no, perhaps you don't need to do that. Perhaps you observe that guy over there who typically doesn't go out that much, but is out for, say, the Christmas party. And it's last call and he says, I've had enough. That's a measured amount for myself within this situation. And then you look at him the rest of the week, and he's not going out and drinking at home and all that. He saves it for a special occasion where it's going to promote some sort of good conviviality or something along those lines. Or perhaps the person who has one glass of wine with dinner rather than saying, well, I've opened the bottle, so I probably shouldn't let this wine go to waste. There's all kinds of justifications. So that person is modeling their actions in accordance with virtue on a person who actually does have the virtue. And it may be a specific person who they use as a role model, or it may be a set of guidelines that they found in some sort of book written by somebody who knows something about virtue. It might be a composite picture put together of lots of different sources. But there is a fundamental difference between not having the virtue, but acting in accordance with virtue, and then acting from what one actually has as a resource within oneself. Aristotle will talk about this in Book 2, Chapter 4. He uses the examples of temperance and justice there. We're going to make it a little bit more generic. He says, actions are rightly called virtuous when they are of the sort that virtuous people do. So just actions are the kinds of actions that people who actually have the virtue of justice do, right? This sounds a little bit circular when we say it in the abstract, but when we make it concrete and we look at how just people actually behave, we have criteria for that. Aristotle will talk about this in Book 5. He'll go into great detail about that. Same thing with temperance. He's going to talk about that in Book 3. There are some guidelines for this. So the action itself can be virtuous. And if it's a virtuous action, if it's an action in accordance with virtue, we're talking about moral evaluation, it's a good action. A bad person can engage in a good action, an action that doesn't display virtue because they don't have virtue, but which, if they did long enough, would actually start making them move away from vice or you know, lack of self-control to virtue. It's still good qua that action in that particular situation. So if I'm normally a stingy guy, but I engage in an action that appears to be a rather generous one by certain measures, perhaps because I want to get in good with somebody, it's still a good action insofar as it is in accordance with virtue. We can say the same thing, too, by the way, about vicious actions. There is a big difference between being a vicious person, somebody who has a vicious disposition with respect to a particular set of goods or emotional responses or actions, and just being somebody who does vicious actions. But again, if you do them long enough, you will become vicious. So, you know, engaging in actions of intemperance, you may not yourself already have the vice of intemperance established within your soul or your personality, but you can do actions that are indeed intemperate, right? Or unjust, or cowardly, or displaying bad temper. All of these are possibilities, and we use the virtues then as norms for evaluation in saying whether an action is of this sort and whether it's good or bad. Now, Aristotle clarifies this a bit, though. It may not seem like a clarification to you in this particular sentence, but if you tie in all the other things that go into virtue, it becomes so. So he says, actions are rightly called virtuous when of the sort virtuous people do, but the person engaging in the action is virtuous only if they do those actions in the way that virtuous people do them. The Greek there is hos, which means in this kind of manner or this kind of way. So what actually goes into that? Well, one is all those rites that go into establishing the mean, you know, the feeling, for example, an emotion at the right time, towards the right people, for the right reasons, engaging in actions, for instance, with generosity. What do you spend your resources on? Do you do it in order to be a big shot? Do you do it because you can't say no to people? That's a vice. Do you do it because you want to conduce to the general good or the good of the people that you care about? Well, that's virtuous, provided you're not being stingy, withholding too much, or giving too much. Giving people things that really aren't good for them is not an example of generosity for Aristotle. So that's part of that host, that in the way. Another aspect of this is that the virtuous person willingly does what is virtuous because they want to do it, because they identify that with who they are. So when you're on a diet, for example, or first engaging in exercise, and you're trying to get your body back in shape, you don't enjoy it. Trust me, I'm talking from much experience here. But if you stick with it long enough, then you begin to enjoy it because you are establishing new habits. Now, if those habits are virtues, eventually you get to the point where part of that in that way is that you naturally steer towards being generous or being just or being truthful. Those things become part of the fabric of who you are. Likewise, we can say the same thing about vicious people. A vicious person commits vicious actions in the way that vicious people do. They delight in vice, whereas somebody else may do something bad and still feel bad about it afterwards or while they're doing it and think, this really isn't the right thing, but I have to do it at the time. They would not be doing it in the way that vicious people do it. So you see how virtue and the virtues operate as a very robust and flexible norm for moral evaluation within Aristotle's ethics.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.